Well, we were having such fun talking to Alex and Midge and Lumpy, his two assistants. After 2 years, I still don't know what their names are.
Ash.
Ash and Lumpy.
And Lumpy.
And Midge. Anyway, we were just catching up. Hello, listeners.
Mark.
I'm Joe Cornish.
I'm Adam Buxton.
We're Adam and Joe. We've been away for the summer, and you've had to tolerate low-quality talent like Ricky Gervais and Simon Amstel.
Yeah.
Must have been awful.
No, thanks to those guys. It must have been actually amazingly good.
I was being sarcastic, obviously.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just making sure that people realise that.
Thank you.
I sound as if I'm in the dustbin. Is that normal? I'm just, you know, it's so unfamiliar being back.
It's strange. All the buttons are strange.
That was the Foo Fighters you were just listening to, incidentally, with DOA. Got a lot of good music on the show today. Some of them are familiar. Bit of Razor Light, some Gorillaz, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Goldfrapp, Kaiser Chiefs, Danny Warhols, that kind of thing. We've got a few free plays we'll be throwing in there for you as well, excitingly. And we thought we'd ease ourselves into the show again today, rather than, you know, coming with a whole lot of new ideas. We've got a lot of new ideas for the show, but we rather than force them all in today and kind of blow people's minds, we thought we'd do none today and then save them for a bit. And then people would ease into it a bit more.
That's a good idea. But we do have free free DVDs. Yeah, DVDs to give away. We've got My Summer of Love, the lesbian lady film about young ladies who fall in love, lie in fields and touch each other. I haven't seen it yet, but when I do, that's what I'm expecting to see.
Yeah.
Touching in fields. And also two copies of Scrubs, Series 2. Some people get very excited about Scrubs. And Zach Brabth?
Yeah, you know, I've got a problem. I've never really seen
How do you say his name? But he's handsome and sensitive and nerdy.
However, he did.
And he's in Garden State.
Garden State's one of the most torturous experiences of
my
life.
So you say.
Have you seen it?
No, because you told me not to.
Oh, yeah, well, I stick to my original assertion. Avoid it like the plague.
Well, if you're a fan of Zach Bleth, you can win a Series 2 box set of Scrubs. Plus, we've got tickets to see the Super Furry Animals at the Carling Academy, Brixton, on Thursday the 22nd, and we'll have a text competition for that. It's a good text competition.
Wow.
That'll draw on our listeners' creative juices.
What, remind me what it is?
It's the American, you know, fall TV.
Oh, brilliant.
Thing. Oh, it's brilliant.
That's
it's
good,
brilliant.
That's good,
so
that's
coming up.
And also, should we talk about our anecdote competition? It's not really a competition.
Well, it's
a competition between you and myself. Me and Joe are going to have a competition.
Because we've been away for how long? 3 months? 4 months?
Something like that. 3 months.
Yeah, so a lot's happened.
Oh, yeah.
In our lives. A lot of amazing anecdotes we've got. Most of them with a celebrity name involved.
Yeah. Well, you can't have an anecdote without a celebrity name.
So basically, we've got here a list of six names.
I might have more.
Really? Well, yeah. They're all clues to an anecdote, and what we want you to do is call in, and you select a cryptic name, and then we get to tell the anecdote, and you judge how good the anecdote is, and whoever's told the best anecdote, how does it end?
They score the anecdote out of 10.
Oh, right, and then one of us basically gets fired.
That's right.
It's that serious.
One
of us is going to leave.
Yeah.
The one with the lowest score, the weakest summer anecdotes, is gonna just leave.
Like the weakest link.
Like the weakest link.
And then Simon Amstel will come back and...
Or Lauren Laverne.
Or Lauren Laverne.
Mm.
Wow.
Someone good.
Someone better than us.
Yeah.
Shall we say that... We'll save our anecdotes for a little bit,
shall we?
We'll
save that competition for a bit, but the number you'll need to interact with all of these fantastic things is 0871-222-1049 if you want to text us, 83XFM. I'm hungry for rock.
Okay, how about a Kasabian snack?
Delicious. Come on in, get on in, the chips are on
fire. Yeah, yes.
Wow, yeah. That was terrific.
That was The Killers.
I'm all sweaty after that.
I don't want to know.
Sorry.
That was The Killers with Jenny Was a Friend of Mine. Before that, you heard LSF by Kasabian. This is Adam and Joe on XFM, Saturday afternoon here. It's a nice day. Nice day. Nice and cold. That's the way I like it.
Wow. I've never heard the weather sound so sexy.
No, I made it. I make everything sound sexy with my voice.
0871-222-1049 is the number to call if you want to take part in our big summer anecdote playoff. We've got six cryptic clues.
We never thought of a snappy... We never thought of a snappy
I thought that was quite good.
Thing.
Why don't I just call it?
You just
summer anecdote playoff.
Yeah,
it's not snappy, is it?
It's not snappy. It's functional.
We were trying to think of them last night. What did we come up with? Anecdote. We didn't come up, we didn't think of any. So basically, give us a call, 0871 222 1049, and ask us to tell one of our summer anecdotes. It doesn't sound very rewarding for the listener or caller, does it? So maybe we should add that everyone who calls will get their choice of free DVDs.
Yeah, so that's a reward.
I've made it sound like they can choose any DVD in the world.
Which isn't true,
but I'm not going to correct that.
Okay. Shall we go through... you say the titles of your anecdotes, and we'll alternate one by one.
Okay, anecdote number one.
Yes.
Harvey Keitel.
Okay.
What could that be about?
Anecdote number two. Bike assault.
Bike assault?
Yeah, not...
not bike assault. Not some sort of residue scraped off the body of a biker.
No, but...
but an assault.
Bike.
On a bike.
Assault.
That's good. Okay. Do you want to hear my next one?
Yeah.
Gordon's alive.
Gordon's alive?
Mm.
Okay, here's my next one. Kiki P.
Kiki P?
Yeah.
What's Kiki P?
Exactly.
Oh.
Shall we leave it at that for the moment?
Let's leave it at that for the moment. That's so tantalizing.
Let's go through them once again.
0871 222 1049, and you can choose from Harvey Keitel.
Bike assault.
Gordon's alive.
And Kiki P.
Now, we warn you, these might be rubbish anecdotes. Just because it's got Harvey Keitel, it doesn't necessarily mean I've met Harvey Keitel in the summer.
Don't blow it.
But they could... no, I might have, though.
Yeah.
I'm just saying they could be the worst... we could have had the most boring summer. And these could just be absolutely rubbish anecdotes.
Hey, give us a quick synopsis of what your summer was like in the end, Joe. What did you get up to?
That's a very big question to ask out of the blue.
Were you working?
I worked, yeah, and I went on holiday. And I watched a lot of telly.
Where'd you go on holiday?
Crete.
Crete?
It's Crete. Yeah.
Wow. Mm. Was it really hot?
Yeah, it was sizzling hot.
Did you go gay?
What do you mean?
That's what you do in Crete. You go gay.
Do you?
Yeah, it's the home of gay.
Is it?
Yeah.
What, in terms of ancient classical Greek behaviour?
It's
I mean, I know the classical Greeks didn't really, you know, women for... what is it? Women for...
women
love,
for...
boys for pleasure.
Yeah.
Isn't that how it goes?
Other way round, I think.
I don't know. Oh, you get confused when you go to Crete. No, I didn't.
No, okay. Just checking. If I ever go back there, I will.
Will you?
Yes.
Greek men are hairy, though. They're very hairy.
That's
you have to be a committed homosexual. You have to be absolutely comfortable with, you know, men, not just girly men, but men who are men.
Yeah.
Big, real, hairy, big men.
That's what I'm like.
Great.
That's
fine.
That's where I got my sailor's cap from.
Great. This is... yeah.
Okay. I was in Edinburgh. I went to do the Edinburgh Festival for the first time, and I had a show.
Hang on, is anyone calling?
What?
I'm just going to go next door.
Oh, she's going to go next door. I just wondered whether we should get to the phones.
I was telling you about my summer.
Oh, sorry. Okay, go on.
I don't feel like telling you now.
Well, no, it's good, but we could save it for later. We should pace stuff out, you know, pace it.
Pace it.
Pace ourselves.
So you're the pace king.
By making love.
By making love?
Like making love.
Oh, I see.
You know, not all at once.
Right, right. I thought you wanted to make love to pace the show.
No.
It was all getting a bit out of hand. Anyway, listen, more music for the time being. How about some Goldfrapp?
Okay.
How about it?
Okay, if you must. Goldfrapp.
I've loaded up the wrong thing. How about this, then?
What is it?
Oh, I'm not so sure.
It'll be a surprise.
Hang on. Do you like Goldfrapp?
Yeah, I love Goldfrapp. They're making a comeback at the moment.
Are they?
Yeah, Alison from Goldfrapp.
Is
the lead singer.
She's quite sexy.
What's going on, Adam?
I've loaded it up. It's all happening. Listen, okay. It's the first day back. It's bound to be a little rough around the edges.
Ayo, yo.
This isn't Goldfrapp.
What is that?
That's not Goldfrapp.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, look, I had it right the first time.
What was that? That sounded like Ludacris with Lovers and Friends.
Ayo, yo.
Anyone? Was that Ludacris?
That's Goldfrapp.
That was a beautiful link.
That's good, wasn't it?
Yeah, wow.
Sony Award. Thank you very much.
Wow. It feels like 1983, doesn't it?
It's back to the 80s with Goldfrapp.
Yeah. That was half Lena Lovitch, my lucky number one, and half... bits of Radio Gaga in there. Nee, 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 nee. I'm happy, man. I'm really happy to be back. I'm happy to be here at XFM. We've got the planet's funniest animals on the TV in the corner with the sound down, which is the best way to watch it. And, you know, we've got good music.
That dog's funny.
That dog's playing
it's
the piano.
It's got to be one of the funniest dogs in
that
the world.
That dog's standing up by the sink.
Amazing.
It's insane.
But listen, let's not let the listeners know that you're watching telly out of the corner of your eye.
Sorry.
I don't think that's very good radio.
We've got some callers on the line.
You know.
And we've got Dean and we've got Ash.
And we're playing our summer anecdote. What's it called? Mix-up. Anecdotties. We don't know what we're calling it. Yeah, we're playing Anecdotties.
Anecdotties.
Yeah. Okay. Come on, we can't come up with anything better.
No.
Basically, we've got 6 anecdotes of things that happened during our summers. You guys call in, you rate them out of 10, and whoever has the worst anecdotes gets fired.
So let's just run
it's
through
It's that simple. It's that brutal.
Let's run through the choice very quickly once again. Yours, Joe?
Harvey Keitel.
Bike assault.
Gordon's alive.
And Kiki P. So let's see what Dean wants to hear first. Dean, hi, how you doing?
What's an anecdote?
Yeah.
Dean, is that a real question?
Yeah, I thought you were giving away anecdote DVDs. That's why I rang up.
What? What? You think there's a film called Anecdote?
Yeah.
Well, who do you think's in it?
A Harvey Keitel. You said things about that.
A Harvey Keitel film called Anecdote. That's feasible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because he makes those really boring, talky ones like Smoke and Blue in the Face. It could just be him telling a long anecdote. You know what, Dean? I think you should make that film.
Well, I'll think about it. I'll think about it. You get the script ready.
Yeah.
Are you going to send it to us, or...?
No, because it doesn't exist, Dean.
Oh, right,
we can't
okay.
send you something that's merely the figment of your demented imagination. What are you doing, Dean?
I'm driving a cab.
Are you now?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, just listen more carefully. Do you know what? We're playing a game called Anecdotties. So we're we're going to persevere with Dean. We're going to give you 6 different anecdote titles, and you've got to choose one. Do you think we should persevere with Dean?
Yeah,
Adam?
Definitely. He just has to choose one.
Okay, do you want to hear an anecdote? Basically, Dean, an anecdote is like a story about something that happened to you that's fun and hopefully interesting, right?
And you want me to tell you a story that happened to me?
No, that's the last thing we want, Dean. Circumstances do we want you to tell us a story.
Well, I don't know. Maybe later.
No, come on.
Don't take offence, Dean, but listen, at the moment we just want you to choose from 4 anecdote titles. Now, of course, you don't know what they could be. It's really a random choice at this stage. Just choose the one you think sounds most exciting out of these 4. Okay, go, Joe.
Harvey Keitel.
Bike assault.
Gordon's alive.
And Kiki P. Which one do you think sounds interesting?
Harvey Keitel. Go with that one.
Okay, good choice. All right, here we go, Dean.
So listen carefully, Dean. You have to rate this anecdote.
Okay, this is my anecdote. I haven't really rehearsed this or even thought about it. But, okay, Dean, I'm, you know, on the radio and used to be on telly, so I go to dinner at the Ivy. Okay, do you know what the Ivy is, Dean?
Don't ask Dean that.
It's a right restaurant, isn't it?
Yeah, Ponzi restaurant. So I was in the Ivy. This is a terrible anecdote.
Come on,
and I was having dinner. Okay. Do you want to hear who I was having dinner with, Dean?
Harvey Keitel?
No, but some friends. And then basically, Sam Taylor Wood comes over, right? You know Sam Taylor Wood? She's like an artist. And she brings over a baby.
Yeah.
And it turns out that Harvey Keitel is sitting in the corner, and it's Harvey Keitel's baby.
Right.
And I'm sitting with David Walliams, who knows, I don't know Sam Taylor Wood, I hardly know David Walliams, but I'm sitting with him, they bring over the baby, and it's the most amazing baby you've ever seen, because it looks as if Pixar have generated, digitally, Harvey Keitel as a baby, because it's got Keitel's eyebrows and face, but in the fleshy, soft head of a baby.
Yeah.
And we just stared at this, and Harvey Keitel's 66. And it was extraordinary that a man of 66 could give birth to this beautiful, blobby baby with an old, famous method actor's face. And that's the end of the anecdote, Dean.
Oh, right. Did that really happen?
Yeah, that's true.
Come on. Well, that's pretty amazing.
I tell you who else was at the dinner. Stephen Merchant from XFM.
Name dropping.
Edgar Wright. Well, I'm trying to just shore up my anecdote. Edgar Wright.
He's trying to
pick yourself up.
He's trying to score extra points. Well, listen, you might like to mark him down for that name dropping at the end there, Dean.
That was good.
Do you like that, Dean? So what'd you give that out of 10? Oh, please score.
It'll be an 8.
Oh, that's really good.
8 out of 10.
That's an 8 out of 10.
Hey, Dean, thanks very much indeed for calling in.
Problem.
And have a nice day in your cab. Don't drive anyone a ludicrously long route for no
particular
reason.
Thank you, Dean. Don't drive Ludacris anywhere. The rapper.
No, exactly. If you see Ludacris, just avoid him. But thanks a lot, Dean. Take care. Lots of love. Bye. And that's the first...
Oh, we didn't get to give Dean a DVD.
Yeah, we're going to give him a
DVD. A DVD. We'll give you a DVD, Dean.
Yeah.
A DVD.
We'll send him Scrubs or something like that. I'm sure Dean likes Scrubs.
He loves Scrubs.
Hey, congratulations, Joe.
8 out of 10. I'm in the lead.
Yeah.
That was surprised.
Pretty amazing.
I thought I'd be below 2.
Name dropping going on at the end there. That was extraordinary.
So if you want to play Anecdotty, what is it called?
Anecdotties.
If you want to play Anecdotties, 0871-222-1049, you could win a DVD for merely tolerating one of our summer anecdotes.
Well, listen, we've got Ash.
Oh, should we do another call?
Now.
Ash. Yeah. Hello, Ash.
Hey, Ash, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, good. Sorry to keep you waiting for so long, but we had to explain some things to Dean, right?
Yeah.
Like, what an anecdote it was.
Are you clear about the competition, Ash?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's not much, but it's our first day back. We, you know, we're a bit rusty, and we're just really trying to get back into it somehow. So, we've got three more titles for you left here, okay? So, Joe's done Harvey Keitel. Now you've got a choice between these three. Bike Assault. Joe, what was your
Gordon's
one?
Alive.
Gordon's Alive. And Kiki P.
Brilliant choice, though.
Gordon's Alive, please.
That's another Cornish one.
He's gone for Cornish's one again.
Oh, man, my anecdote, you know, powers are dwindling. Okay, so Gordon's Alive, so...
Oh, no, I'm not that fussy, to be honest.
Well, Nash, you've got to stick with your choice.
Got to stick with the choice.
Yeah, you want to hear Gordon's Alive? I'll try and make it as quick as possible. I like to have friends around to watch films. One of my friends programs big outdoor screenings at Somerset House in London. And he was programming a season of outdoor films. And we were sitting in my house, a little bit the worse for wear, trying to think of films to show. So we think, we should show Flash Gordon.
Mm.
And he goes, well, that'd be brilliant, but would anybody come? If you had to pay £12.50 to see Flash Gordon, would anybody come? Even if it was outdoors in Somerset House. We took a risk. He convinced his financiers to put it on. So, a few weeks ago, an outdoor screening of Flash Gordon. We were very nervous, because we didn't think anyone would turn up.
Yeah.
It's a kind of campy film. Some people think it's rubbish. I happen to think it's brilliant.
Yeah, it's genius.
Yeah. And basically, hundreds of people turned up.
Yeah, brilliant.
People turned up in costume, with Emperor Ming beards.
Wow.
We got Brian Blessed to turn up. He made a speech, a filthy speech that I can't repeat, to the audience before the film. And then he sat directly behind me during the film, talking along to his lines from Flash Gordon. Talking along to Gordon's Alive! Who wants to live forever? All those classic lines.
Yeah.
That's the end of the anecdote, basically. It was a triumph.
Well done, that's all to do with you.
It's all to do with me. And then Blessed afterwards was mobbed by the crowd. People dressed as Flash Gordon, having their photographs taken with him. So, for me, it's like the birth of a new cult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Gordons.
The Gordon cult. Is that any good? How was that, Dean? Ash.
Ash, you've got to rate that anecdote out of 10 now.
He's hung up, it was so boring.
That was fairly boring, I'm afraid.
It was quite boring, wasn't it? Did you know what it lacked, I think?
What?
It lacked any kind of excitement.
It needed some sex. It needed some action.
Okay.
Mark out of 10. Mark out of 10, please, Ash.
Three.
Oh, man.
Thanks very much for your call, Ash. So, Joe has so far in anecdotes or whatever the hell it's called, scored 12.
I've got 8 for the first one, 3
11.
For the second one.
I can't count.
That's 11. Out of 20.
All right, man.
11 points.
Listen, that was...
But I'm out of anecdotes.
That was a lot of anecdotes. We should go to the ads and play some more music and try a few more anecdotes later on. This is Adam and Joe on XFM. XFM. Red Hot Chili Peppers. With Californication, this is Adam and Joe on XFM.
Listen, I've got a bone to pick.
What?
With Heat Magazine.
Oh, right.
I wonder if anybody's been listening to Simon Amstel's shows. Maybe they could let us know why he gets 5 red stars in Heat and we just get 4.
Because he's better than us.
Do you think?
He's hot, he's young, he's sexy, he's happening. We're a bit past it.
It's just that the guy from Heat, Boyd Hilton, used to tell me that he was only allowed to give one thing 5 stars in the radio, and that was his excuse for giving Jonathan Ross's show 5 stars and us 4. And now that's turned out to be rubbish. Because he gave Ross and Amstel 5 stars.
Amstel had guests, I think, didn't he?
We don't need guests.
Maybe we do need guests.
Maybe we should have guests.
Maybe guests would be better
if you were listening to Amstel, what's he been doing that we could steal?
He had Julian and Noel from the Boosh in for a start.
We know Julian and Noel.
Well...
We could have them in.
Maybe not now, because they've, you know, they've been in already. They're probably too busy.
Anyway, there we go.
Anyway. Shall we return... Shall we have a break from our anecdotes for a little bit?
Why not?
Shall we talk about, sign-offs?
Okay, let's talk about sign-offs.
Well, this is, for me, something that was worrying me over the summer, because I watched This Morning, usually presented by Fern and Phil, and, while Fern and Phil were away for their holidays, they had some stand-ins, and it was,
Richard Bacon
and Denise Van Houten, and they were having lots of fun there. It was pretty shambolic and enjoyable. But Bacon, apart from being a kind of a genius broadcaster, obviously a wonderful person, has got a very annoying sign-off at the end of the show. He would always say, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Oh, we were talking about this last night. Yeah. Listeners, you might have something to contribute to this. Just annoying ways people say goodbye. That's what you're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, but fair enough, bye-bye is fine.
Bye-bye, that's bye-bye. Terrible. I've got a friend bye-bye. Who, he's a lovely guy, very talented guy. He's an animator. But whenever he, signs off on the phone, he goes, okay, thanks a lot, Joe, B.
B?
Like the letter B. Okay, cheers, Joe, B.
B for
right.
Bye.
B. B. I just want to punch him.
He's so busy that he can't manage a whole bye.
B.
B. Are you sure?
Is there anything more annoying than that? Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
B. Oh, what about picking up the phone? Yellow.
Yellow.
People who say yellow.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I mean, Homer Simpson says yellow, doesn't he? But it's supposed to be, like, because he's a jerk, you know.
Well, because he's yellow.
Right.
Is it? At least that could be an excuse.
Another layer, isn't it? But then there's, I remember you said this once, Joe, but I don't think you ever said it more than once. You said Slater. For See You
like
Later.
Like Christian Slater. Yeah. I've probably said it when Christian Slater was a big star.
Slater.
Around the time of Cuffs.
Slater.
When he was at the peak of his powers.
And, someone else, a friend of ours, says Toodles.
Who says Toodles?
Fenton.
After Toodles.
Fenton. Toodles. I quite like Toodles.
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 Well, that's just nice and eccentric and bright.
Yeah. How about See Ya, Wouldn't Wanna Be Ya? I'm glad that one's gone away.
Well, that takes a lot of effort and breath, doesn't it? The problem with things like bye-bye and beep. there's no getting around the fact that people think they're cool when they say them, is there? You know, you can't think you sound cool if you say toodles.
No.
No one's going to sound cool saying toodles. But, okay, beep. And I think I'm supposed to go, oh, that's the B guy. He's great. He gets through his life faster than other people and in a cooler way.
Well, the problem with a lot of these things is that they start off being ironic, don't they? And self-conscious, and you say them as a joke. But then you just slip into saying them all the time, and suddenly you're the guy that says B. And, like, well, you know, we used to say man a lot, and we still say man.
Well, this is another conversation when you're allowed to say man. But I think we could do a text competition. Text us, 83XFM. We'll give a prize to the most annoying way that someone can say goodbye.
Yeah.
On the phone or in person. We'll give an amazing prize. Don't know what it is. Maybe another Scrubs DVD.
Most annoying sign-off.
Text 83XFM. If you can think of something more annoying than going, what was yours? What was Richard Bacon's?
Bye-bye.
Or beep.
We got tickets to the Stereophonics and the Super Furry Animals, so that's an incentive if you want to...
That could be the prize.
Yeah, if you want to text us some of your annoying sign-offs. And we'll come back with some more anecdotes after this. I'm going to have a free play right now, ooh, and there's nothing anyone can do about it. This is Elliot Smith.
Love music. Love music. Love music. Love XFM.
There you go.
Steady, watch me navigate. I did it. I sung like what they did.
You're like a gorilla, Joe.
Thank you.
Yeah, gorillas. With Feel Good Incorporated, this is Saddam and Joe on XFM.
We've been asking you what the most annoying thing anybody can say is. What the hell? Now, let me rethink that sentence. We've been asking you what the most annoying thing anybody can say is when they sign off on the phone. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, or in person, in fact.
We offered you B. And what was your one, courtesy of Richard Bacon?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so we've had an avalanche of responses to this. My uncle sometimes says TTFN. I think that's fine, isn't it? TTFN, it's fine.
Stands for ta-ta for now.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Presenter on Five Live says ta-da at the end of every programme. Ta-da.
Ta-da.
Well, that's probably just some sort of a fanfare.
Ta-da.
I think we need some more. My boss says ciao.
Ciao's okay.
Do you think ciao's okay?
Yeah.
Do you think it's okay if you're not from a country where they say ciao?
No, I don't mind ciao.
Ciao? Isn't ciao? It's just like a mid-80s coke-snorting idiot phrase, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
Ciao.
You know, it depends how
it's
you
sort of a Wall Street phrase, isn't it?
If you're wearing aviator shades and you sort of say ciao, like that. But if you say it with any degree of charm.
Yeah, that was from fine. Tommy Eskimo Disco. Sent that in. Ciao.
Keep saying ciao, Tommy. That's my
Adam
advice.
And Joe, I don't know if they're annoying, but I say... I'm Dustin.
yes, that is annoying. Just
as
to let you
in
know.
Off man. I don't understand what I'm says. That was from Jeff.
You know, I've just remembered a whole load of ones that I used to say.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Here we go. There's also the guy at the social club. This is from Tim, who says, Tatty bye-bye. Tatty bye-bye.
Tatty bye-bye.
That's pathetic as well, isn't it? Pathetic and annoying.
It's not offensive, though.
No.
Do you want to hear a couple of offensive ones that I've just remembered?
Offensive? Well, offensively awful.
Offensively bad, yeah.
Okay.
These are ones I actually used to say when when I was a lot younger and I was playing video games.
Yeah.
I can't even believe I'm
Come on, say it.
This.
Say it.
I'd say, okay, must thrust like I was thrusting off in a spaceship.
That's exciting. I would have been impressed.
That's rubbish.
Wow.
And another one I used to say was, okay, I'm going to choose to cruise.
That was when you were just taking up cruising.
That's when I was...
When you lived by the heath.
That's when I used to fly a fighter plane.
My dad doesn't even have the time to say bye. He just puts the phone down.
That's
and
nice.
And two or three people have texted in with this. People who don't say anything. They do that in movies, don't they? In American movies. They never say bye. They just finish... They get the salient facts out and then they hang up.
You know, my dad does that, actually.
Does he?
Come to mention it.
Maybe
it's
that's
a dad
just
thing.
A dad thing. When you haven't got time when you're old and you want to savour every minute.
You just hang up.
You haven't got time for niceties. Over and out is very annoying, says Sibs. A friend once said, cuckoo-ca-choo.
Cuckoo-ca-choo.
Annoying goodbyes. ABC, yeah?
That's dreadful. That's worse than must thrust.
That's from John in South London. Well done living in South London, John. What else have we got? My friend Graham says, okay, bah. Like he's a sheep. Bah. Yeah, no, I've known people who did that. Bah.
Bah. Yeah, that rings a bell.
Like he's a sheep, only he's not. He's a grown man who rides a motorbike. That's from Caroline in Hampstead.
Wow.
Let me see. Pip Pip. From Matt says Pip Pip. That's like an old, it's sort of Bertie Wooster one, isn't it? Pip Pip.
I like Pip Pip.
Yeah, no, that's all right. We like Laters with an S. Well,
Mark,
just street.
On emails, because the emails is another place where people do little idiosyncratic sign-offs. Yeah. Mark Gatiss from the League of Gentlemen used to sign off his emails by just putting tits.
That's funny, isn't it?
That used to make me laugh. Yeah, I like that one.
Hasta la vista, baby. No one says that. That says Liss. Liss has texted that in. Another person saying people who say ciao. My friend says, see ya, bake.
What the hell is that? What's see ya, bake?
I don't know. A lot of these I just don't understand.
Some of these might be hip-hop derivations,
maybe they are. Yeah, a guy at work, this is from Stephen. A guy at work says, Sula, instead of see you later. So he's actually taken a text acronym and is saying it.
That's a bit like
Sula.
That's a bit like Slater. Sula, I hate you for saying that, whoever you are. listen, we're going to have to put that one
There's
to bed
so
now.
Many more.
So sign off with your favourite bad sign-off for end of part one, Joe.
My uncle always says, peace and jam.
Well, peace and jam from Adam and Joe until hour number two of this Saturday
show. Moshi. Ta-ta. Bye.
Stop it.
Bye-bye. XFM.
This is XFM.
Well, hey, who is that ad?
That's a Kaiser Chiefs. Quite good, really. You can't argue with that, can you? Despite being, I would say, the worst-looking band in pop.
Ooh, controversial.
Anyone?
What, worst dressed?
Yeah, just ridiculous.
Worst styled?
Yeah, I mean, I dress better than the Kaiser Chiefs, and that's saying something bad.
What? How do they dress? What sort of thing do they wear?
Like, he wears sort of boxing boots with jeans and then a suit jacket.
Cool.
And it's just all over the shop.
That sounds cool.
I don't know if
he
it is
sounds cool.
He is cool. I mean, they're cool. Don't get me wrong. Mm. I'm not saying they're not cool. I'm just saying they look sartorially like a disaster.
Okay. Now, we're going to play the second half of Anecdotes. What's it called? I keep forgetting. Anecdoodles. Our anecdote game. We had four different anecdote subjects. You, the good listeners, had to call in and choose an anecdote and judge them out of 10, and whoever gets the lowest score gets fired.
Well,
Adam's not coming back next week.
No, because no one's chosen one of my anecdotes yet, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to only give you a choice of my anecdotes.
Well, that's
next.
All that's left. Both of mine have gone.
Oh, you only had two?
Well, actually, I've got more. No, I've got more. Do you want more?
No, I've got more if you want more. Hold off. It's going to be my turn for an anecdote now.
0871 222 1049. I should remind people of the number. 0871 222 1049. You could win a DVD if you get on air. Please call.
The choice, not that this is going to get anyone to call in, but the choice of my anecdotes is between bike assault, Kiki P, and beard fear.
Beard fear, they sound really good. You see, I don't really have any more.
You might just you know, make up a title for something you were going to say.
Big night out.
Big night out.
Big night out.
You've actually got good anecdotes, because you were just hanging out in London meeting famous people all summer.
Yeah.
Whereas I was consigned to Edinburgh and I
didn't. Becoming a famous, even more famous person.
That's right.
Yeah. So call 0871 222 1049 if you want to play Anecdotes. You'll win a prize and you'll hear a brilliant anecdote.
Mm. And we gave a prize, incidentally, to one of the people who texted in an annoying sign-off. I think the sign-off in question, who was the guy that...
It was Jeff. His name was Jeff.
Congratulations, Jeff. You're going to see the Phonics, I believe.
And what was he saying?
I'm Dustin.
We were discussing the most appalling way you can say goodbye on the phone or in person. I'm Dustin.
I mean, that would be good if you were Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's not acceptable. Anyway, Jeff, for you, stop saying it for a start and go and have fun at the Stereophonics. Now, call in for these anecdotes, but before we talk more about the anecdotes, Joe, I just want to ask you a question that is genuinely bugging me. Mm. You know, over the summer, Batman Begins was out, and I was told by lots of people that it was the best of the summer blockbusters. Haven't seen it yet. But anyway, I saw Christian Bale doing a bit of press for it on TV and stuff.
Mm.
Now, Christian Bale is English, right?
Yes, he's from Bournemouth.
He's from Bournemouth. Mm. But
his family, I think his parents are divorced, and he lives in California now.
Okay.
So I think he moved to California just after they made... Empire of the Sun. But is that too much information to know that his dad? His dad separated from his mum and he lives in California.
That's too
by
much.
By the beach.
That's too much.
Yeah.
He's
been around to my house, Christian Bale.
Has he?
Yeah.
When was that?
Years ago.
But like 5 years ago?
No, about 8 years ago.
And was he speaking with an extremely broad American accent?
No, he was kind of British.
He is British?
Yeah.
But in this press stuff that I saw him doing, he was speaking with the same accent that he uses in the film. And someone told me that he stays in character
That's very true.
For each film he
does. Well, my friend was the publicist on Batman Begins. She won't like me talking about this. Mm. She sat next to him and did crosswords while he was in his Batman suit.
Right.
While they were, you know, between shots, he can't have been in character as Batman doing the crossword.
But this is what I mean. He wasn't pretending to be Batman when he was doing this press. The only thing that remained of his character was the accent, which made me think, like, who's he? I don't understand what the point of doing that is.
Of staying in character.
Like, pretending to be American. Mm. Like, does he think that people will be upset if they see the film and they think, why is he pretending to be American? He's not American. So he's going to try and fool people into thinking that he really is American whenever he does press. It just sort of upset and confused me.
Well, does that explain it to you a bit, that his family is half American, his dad lives in California? I mean, that's a good excuse for having a mid-Atlantic accent, don't you think?
I don't believe that it would sink in that fast. He's an intelligent person. He's not just a ludicrous sponge, is he? He's not going to come back from a few years in California...
A ludicrous
just
sponge. Talking like a Yankee. A ludicrous sponge talking like a Yankee. I'm lost. I'm just having sort of SpongeBob visions now.
Well, was he playing an American in The Machinist?
Yeah, the thing about Christian Bale is he takes his roles very seriously, doesn't he? Even if it's a piece of old rubbish like Reign of Fire. He took that very seriously.
I can still smell that one.
And I think that's commendable. But you know what? I think he slimmed down too much for The Machinist and he's given himself permanently damaged eye bags.
Really?
I think his eyes are permanently slightly hollow.
Wow.
He can take it too far.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, note to Bale.
But he beefed up, though, for Batman, though. He's no longer really skinny.
He beefed up for Batman.
Anyway, I'm just confused, that's all. Whenever I see someone using an accent that clearly isn't theirs for no particular reason, it just makes me very confused.
Have we got any callers?
But we can ask more people to ring, yeah.
That means no. That means we have no callers.
One very nice lady who'd like to play. Oh, no, someone else. A lovely
lady.
0871 222 1049 to play Anecdotes. What are we doing now?
We're going to play some music. This is an old classic from a band that I miss very badly. It's Pulp. What if you never come down? Hey, have you thought about that?
Well, when was that record released?
That was about 96, I suppose.
96, I had 9 years to come down.
9 years.
A friend of mine actually saw Jarvis Cocker in a park the other day, pushing his kid.
In the UK?
Mm.
I thought he lived in France now.
He was in a park, pushing his
kid. Hey, did you see that show that Jarvis Cocker presented about pop shows? It was on E4, and it was like, I think the...
Yeah, the greatest pop disasters. It was like him mooning Michael Jackson and stuff, wasn't it?
No. Oh. This was a show all about things that he really loved, you know.
Oh,
they did a series on E4 with people picking clips of their favourite things.
Right.
And one of them was Jarvis Cocker picking clips from classic pop shows and stuff. And it was a brilliant programme, really good, just out of the blue. Get Jarvis Cocker to make more programmes.
That's a taste of the anecdotes there are to come on our competition anecdote, and we've got two callers on the line. First of all, Hayley in Southend. Hello, Hayley.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Welcome back.
Hey, thanks a lot, Hayley.
Hey, thanks, Hayley. God, it's very touching to speak to someone who cares.
We've had some really nice emails, actually, from people. I won't read them out or mention people by name, but thank you very much for emailing us and being nice to us on our return. Anyway, Hayley...
Hayley didn't do any of that.
You have... She's just said, well, welcome
she's just,
back.
She's just... That's true. She's been nice.
So, Hayley, you've got a choice between three of my anecdotes now, okay? Obviously, you don't know about, you know, what any of these contain, but the titles are Bike Assault... Kiki, don't laugh that way.
Why?
Kiki, because it sounds as if you're dismissing the bike assault.
I'm excited.
Okay. Bike assault, Kiki P.
That's a good one.
And beard fear. Which one do you want to go for, Hayley?
Kiki D, please.
Kiki D.
It's actually Kiki P.
Kiki P.
As in P-double-E.
It's not going to be a story about Kiki D, Hayley. Does that change things?
Can I change my mind?
No, you can't.
Well, she thought it was Kiki D. She doesn't realise it involved urinating. P.
Sorry, I was a bit slow.
Hayley, listen to this, and you have to judge it out of 10. This is rubbish. Okay, when I was in Edinburgh doing my show up there, I had a PR person called Claire Walker, who was excellent, and she tried to get me in the papers and stuff like that. And anyway, she was out one night doing some late-night drinking in Edinburgh, and sat at her table, amongst others, were these two kind of New York drag queens who call themselves Kiki and Herb. And they do an act where the one that calls herself Kiki is like an old lounge singer, and Herb is her accompanist, and they're really bitter and twisted, and that's part of their act. But anyway, they were really outrageous that night, really drunk. Everyone was steaming drunk. And at one point, the guy that plays Kiki was so wrecked that he just got out his winkle, and he started to spend a penny beneath the table where he and Claire were sitting. And due to their close seating proximity, quite a lot of tinkle went on Claire's foot.
Wait a second. Did he announce this? Did he say, I'm now going to have a wee under the table?
No, he didn't.
Or did she just feel a warm flush on her ankles?
Yeah, she felt that ankle tinkle.
Are you still with us, Hayley?
I'm still here.
You haven't hung up in disgust?
Okay. No.
This is all true, I swear to you, this is absolutely true. So yeah, she felt ankle tinkle and from Kiki, and she jumped up in disgust and said, what the hell are you doing? And, you know, rushed off to the lab, absolutely furious, as you would be.
Mm.
Anyway, far from being contrite at this point, Kiki meets her when she comes out of the lab, grabs her by the arm, and sort of he's kind of annoyed, Kiki, that she's annoyed. You know, he's like...
him weeing on...
Yeah. And he grabs her and he says, I'm sorry I didn't pee in your face. I mean,
that's New York for you.
That's unbelievable.
That's New York.
And then, anyway, so basically, like, she told people that this had happened, and a lot of people that knew Kiki just said, that doesn't sound like something he would do at all. You know, he's not that kind of person. But I'm thinking, like, well, surely, you know, how many times do you have to wee on someone's foot before you are the kind of person that would do something like that?
Because he usually poos in the back pocket.
Yeah.
When no one's looking.
I would say you only need to
wee on the ankle.
You only need to wee on someone's foot once before you are the kind of person that does that. Anyway, that's
Hayley.
Hayley,
are you still there, Hayley?
Yes, yes.
What, I think that was a pretty good anecdote, don't you?
It's all true. Well, okay, out of 10.
Didn't have the celebrity impact that, I mean, let's face it, what are they called? Kiki and Herb?
Yeah, they're very well known.
not the same celebrity level as my anecdote. So
their show was very well received.
You should take that into account when scoring.
I saw it on the telly, actually, I think, on a roundup.
There you go.
Was there any inappropriate
wee? There was no urinating.
No, good. No.
I might get sued now by Kiki and Herb's lawyers, of course, but...
So what's that out of 10, Hayley? What are you giving that anecdote out of 10?
I'm giving it 7.5.
Oh!
7.5, that's
quite good. 7.5?
Yeah. Yeah.
Our producer Lila, incidentally, this is a footnote to the anecdote. Our producer Lila says that it's supposed to be good for verrucas to pop a bit of wee on there.
Wow.
Well, listen, that's as grubby as the anecdotes get. But thanks very much for listening to that.
Yeah,
one,
thanks
Hayley.
For calling. Do you want a Scrubs DVD or a My Summer of Love DVD? Do you want a handsome, nerdy New York doctor or two young ladies making love in a field?
Or
tickets to the Super Furry Animals?
Can I go for the doctor, please?
Yes, the sexy, nerdy New York doctor, Zach
Scrubber.
You can. Thanks for calling, Hayley. We're going to do one more. Or would that take this link over an hour?
Yeah, let's hold off for the moment. Play some more music. Right now, this is a track by the Dandy Warhols.
This is XFM.
That's the Velvet Underground, beginning to see the light. This is Adam and Joe on XFM. Before the break, you heard the Dandy Warhols with All the Money or the Simple Life, Honey. Exciting stuff there from the Warhols, changing the face of rock. Let's conclude our anecdote playoff.
Okay, yes.
Shall we?
Yes, absolutely.
I think it's time for another one of mine. I've only got two left, Beard Fear or Bike Assault.
We need a caller first. It's James there. Hello, James.
Hi there. Hi, guys.
Hey, James, thanks for waiting.
No problem.
I mean, I know we called you back, but let's give the impression that you hung on for ages, because you were so keen.
He hung on for a while, and then we had to call him back. So there's been a lot of hanging on, and we appreciate the hanging. So, James, we'll cut to the chase. Which one would you like to go for, Bike Assault or Beard Fear?
I think it's got to be Beard Fear, please.
It's the weaker of the two anecdotes.
Well, yeah, come on, listen, James, you've got a choice between fear or an assault. What's more exciting?
I was hoping it was going to be Adam's beard.
Well, it is.
It will be.
I'll go for Beard Fear. It's fairly short. It's more of a kind of observation, really.
Okay, James, remember you're scoring this out of 10.
Right.
Adam's currently only got 7.5 points. I've got 11. So unless you score this highly, Adam, we'll be fired.
Yeah. Incidentally, if you're listening to us on your satellite TV, this isn't Simon Amstel, it's Adam and Joe. Someone typed in the wrong thing on the satellite listings. Okay? Beard Fear. Right. Now, this is another true story. A few days after the bombings in July, I was in London, and I was in a T-shirt shop near Covent Garden. And at this point, I was cultivating a gigantic beard for my show in Edinburgh. Absolutely enormous. Looked a bit like Brian Blessed. And it was kind of way beyond the limits of fashion, really, out into something like extremism of some kind, and very possibly religious extremism. So I was getting a lot of funny looks around that time, especially as I often wander around town with, with a jacket and a backpack on, which isn't the best thing to do, especially if you live around Stockwell. Anyway, I was in this T-shirt shop, which I do, yeah. I was in a T-shirt shop in Covent Garden, or near Covent Garden, and this shop assistant was following me around, I'm not joking, the whole time, like, right behind me, and I was sort of looking at him like, what? And then eventually he comes up and he goes, aren't you hot? I said, what do you mean? Aren't you hot with that jacket on? He said. And basically, I think he thought that I had some stuff strapped to me and I was going to explode his T-shirt shop, because I had my backpack on and everything. And I swear to you, this guy was really freaking out. So I said, no, I don't. What do you think? I'm going to blow up your shop. And he's like, no. Anyway, I left without a T-shirt, feeling slightly as if I was living in a city of fear, which I suppose I was in a way, or maybe it was me that was just being incredibly paranoid and actually the guy was just making conversation. And that's the end.
James, hello, James. James?
Hi.
Are you still there? Hi.
Still there.
Whoa. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks.
So, I thought that was like a Manu Abbott. What about the one with Jonathan Ross and the PSP? That was a better anecdote. You should have had that one in.
I should have done that.
That was a celebrity anecdote. James, you've got to take some of the responsibility for that, because...
Well, it's not too... What do you mean? That was interesting. It was a little insight into...
It wasn't a qualitative judgment. It's terrific. Well done, James.
Does Adam still have the beard?
Sorry?
Does Adam still have the beard?
He does, yeah. It's been trimmed a little bit.
I've got a trimmed version of it.
What did you think of that, James?
Yeah, I quite enjoyed that.
Oh, it was rubbish, wasn't it? I'm sorry, man.
I quite enjoyed it.
It had a little bit of social context to it as well.
Yeah, it was a bit political and a bit heavy.
Yeah.
It was a bit heavy. It was a difficult context to make light of.
You should have put that in the Times article you were in.
That's true.
There you go.
Hey, listen, I wasn't making light of it. It was a just a sad reflection of the times.
Sad reflection of the time. James scores it, points out of 10.
Oh, it's got to be a 10.
James! Wow! What are you paying at?
Thanks, man.
You've given Adam 17 and a half.
It sent me right over the top.
Yeah, you know, I'm a sucker for a beard, really.
And I'm on 11.
Wow.
Joe, and so that's me fired.
Have you got another one that you could come back with? Because I could... Why don't we just do our last two...
I was going to tell you about Vic and Bob's exclusive live big night out.
You do that and then
a one-off only show. No, I'm not.
Do
not
it.
Tell you about
I'll
it.
Do the Jonathan Ross PSP one as well.
We haven't got time.
We do. We got 20 minutes.
Have we?
Yeah.
What, now?
Good times. Hey, listen, thanks very much indeed for your call, James.
Hey, James, do you want... what's he got? He's got ladies making love in a field in the film My Summer of Love,
cool.
Pretending to be younger than they are, or...
Tickets
super
to see
furry
the Super
animals.
Furries.
Yeah, I'd love the Super Furries if it's for a couple of weeks' time, is it?
When are we looking at...
Next Thursday.
He's being very specific.
Thursday the 22nd, that's next Thursday.
I can't make it.
Oh, man, it's going to have to be Dirty Ladies in the Field.
You're getting Dirty Ladies.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks for calling, James.
Yeah, we really appreciate
Thanks for
it.
Having me fired.
Well, it's not too late, man. We've still got one more anecdote each that we can reel out. But it's time for some more adverts now, ladies and gentlemen. This is Adam and Joe on XFM.
XFM.
Okay, sorry, I pressed the button and nothing's happening. Look, I pressed it. Look. Oh, now it's starting. What's that about? I hate Green Day. Yeah.
This is Adam and Joe on XFM, London's top radio station for rocking music.
That's good, man. They
Thanks,
should
man.
Put that on the posters.
So, over the summer, London went PSP crazy, didn't it? PSP crazy. Everyone's talking about PSPs, aren't they?
Were there queues around the blocks and stuff?
Well, supposedly, I pre-ordered my PSP, the PlayStation Portable, the new mini must-have gadget from Sony.
And it's got... You can play movies on it.
You can play movies on it.
And
UMD
you can play
movies.
What's
you can play games.
What's
I've only
UMD?
Got Wipeout. I don't know what UMD stands for. Umda. But it's great. It's lovely having a new format, isn't it?
Of course, everyone loves a new format.
Yeah, and I'm just excited about going on a plane so that I can buy a movie at the airport on Umda.
A movie?
A movie on Umda.
A movie.
And, what? And then watch it on the plane. But basically, it's one of those things you spend £200 on and then just never use.
Really?
Yeah, I just haven't used it. I look at it and show it to people, but do I sit and play it? No.
That's like your winky.
It is, isn't it? But, long before the summer, of course, PSPs, PlayStation Portables, were available in America, and people who were very
and
rich,
Japan.
Or early adopters, as they're called, had one, didn't they? Like, years ago. You could have had one, like, a year and a half ago, because they were so slow to come out in Britain.
Yeah.
And this created a strange sort of jealousy vacuum, where people would, like, I'd see kids in shops hiding in corners playing on them, with surrounded by about 20 other kids watching and about to mug the child.
Yeah.
But you had a problem, didn't you, with a PSP, Adam?
Well, we saw Jonathan Ross, our best celebrity friend, quite a few months ago now. It was Jane's birthday, his wife, and he very generously invited us along to his house to celebrate.
Yeah, and he's got this amazing office that's basically just... I think when you're quite rich and very successful, people just send you everything in the world that exists.
Yeah.
And because you're so busy making money, you don't have time to open it. So he's just got this room in his house that's like a sort of Aladdin's cave.
Yeah, like a criminal...
full of...
A criminal's warehouse.
Yeah. It's just stacked full of amazing consumer durables. Every imaginable box set of DVDs from every country in the world. Every electronic device. He doesn't have boring things in there. It's just fun booty, isn't it?
Yeah, but we should point out to thieves that it's heavily guarded.
Oh, heavily guarded.
It's sounded very husky.
Yeah.
Heavily guarded.
But anyway, so we're in this room, and Jonathan's a very generous man. He sometimes just gives you things.
Yeah.
If you go, oh... That's a nice Xbox 360. There's a fair chance he'll just go, oh yeah, have it, go on, have it, I've got 14.
Well, he was showing us the PSP and I was very impressed and he was saying, you know, especially if you've got children, this is a must-have item because it'll keep them quiet for hours on planes and things like that. And
Did he use the phrase must-have item?
No, I imagine he used something a bit perkier than that, but I'm a cheap, stupid person. That's how I interpreted it. And he was basically selling me this machine very well, and I was really excited about it. And he said, well, you know, I've got a spare one. When's your birthday? And it was actually, it had just been my birthday a couple of days before. So I said, yeah, it was just my birthday yesterday, or day before. And so he said, well, great, I'll give you one. I've got one in the cupboard over here. So he goes over to the cupboard, and I'm really excited.
I couldn't believe it. I was so jealous.
Joe was fuming.
That Jonathan had given Adam a free PSP.
And Joe was going, oh, that's not fair. It's my birthday, too, in 6 months. And anyway, Joe didn't get one. I must admit to feeling a tiny bit smug about that. But Jonathan got to the cupboard and said, oh, no, it's not in the box. Oh, well, don't worry. It's in the office. You know, come by and grab it. It's yours. You know, I was like, oh, well, thanks very much.
So this is an ethical dilemma, isn't it?
Yeah, because then...
He's promised you the PSP, but he hasn't actually delivered it.
No.
But now it's incumbent on you to hassle him to give you the thing that he's giving you generously for free.
Yeah.
And to what extent do you do that in life?
Well, I think not is the answer. You don't mention it again.
You should have just forgotten it and waited for him to go, oh, Adam, that PSP I promised you. Sorry, I forgot about it. Here it is.
But I couldn't forget. Everywhere I went, there was adverts for it PSP, and stories about it and ghosts
PSP.
With talk exactly like that, saying that to me in my head. And it was driving me mental. And I, you know... Just the spectre of this PSP hovering there that Jonathan had dangled. So finally, well, after I'd had a couple of drinks one night, I emailed him and I said, hey, listen, Jonathan, you know that generous offer you made? You know, could I collect on that? Oh, my God. And I tried to phrase it as well as I possibly could so that it, I basically said, you know, this is kind of greedy of me, but can I have that thing? But there's no good way of saying that because basically it's just the greediest, most horrible thing you could say to a friend.
And then how did you feel after you'd pressed send on that email?
I felt sick. I felt absolutely
dirty.
Sick, yeah.
What, like a greedy person?
Like a just a
like a shameless friend.
Someone who was just not even deserved to be called a friend, you know what I mean? Just someone who was treating Jonathan
a
purely...
Vampire, a bloodsucker.
A blood-sucking vampire.
A parasite.
Yeah, exactly that.
A techno... Parasite.
Stop, easy, stop it now.
And the best part of this story is you haven't spoken to him since.
No. I don't know if I ever will again.
Until he gives you that PSP.
He emailed back.
You're going to freeze
said,
him out.
He did email back and he said, yeah, no problem, don't worry, I'll sort it out. But I didn't even, you know, obviously I'm not going to hassle him ever again. And I fully expect never to speak to Jonathan Ross ever again. Because I'm the greediest, stupidest man in the world. And I'm never going to get a PSP either because it'll remind me of the friend I lost.
Wow, that's very touching.
Yeah.
This is Adam and Joe on XFM. What now, music?
A little bit of music and then we'll sign off for today. Yeah, that's quite good, isn't it? That's La Ritournelle by Sébastien Tellier.
Yes. And listen, if you want to win a copy of the Virgin Megastore's album of the week, which is Echo and the Bunnymen's Siberia, then listen to Marsha, who's sitting in for Sean Keaveney on Monday from 10 a.m. here on XFM, as she'll be giving away copies of that very album.
That's
Virgin Megastore's album of the week,
yeah.
Siberia, Echo and the Bunnymen. Or go to www.xfm.co.uk.
Well, that's pretty much it for this week. It's, you know, we're sort of easing back here. Well, next week we'll have Ditties in the Dock.
It's going to be such a tight show next week.
It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be phones, features. It's going to be so fast. None of our links are going to be longer than a couple of minutes, and they're going to be so packed.
So packed. And we might get an award at the end of
the show. Completely different show next week.
Yeah, next, at the end
of
the show.
Transformation.
Week. And we had some clips of the Boosh that we really wanted to play this week, but we'll do that next week.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be great. I can never sign off properly, do you know what I mean?
I'll do it for you. Thanks a lot for listening.
Must Dust, is that the one?
Yeah, ciao for now.
What? Keep busting. Bye-bye. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Beep.
Ciao. XFM.